let's stand together. Let me read to you in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, which, by the way, the word itself means the city of thieves. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, of course, he being Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I don't imagine you're going to get a whole lot of... You have a very profitable life begging as a blind man in the city of thieves. Verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. What a tremendous verse.
Yeah, man.
Commanded him to be called. I want you to notice, church, he didn't go get him himself. He said, "You,
yep,
bring him to me."
Yeah, man.
Oh, there's so much in here.
Yes, sir.
They called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." That's the job of the soul winner.
Yeah, man.
To say to the blind man, "Be of good comfort, rise. Jesus is calling thee."
Yes, sir.
And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, as if he didn't know, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Jesus is not a bully.
That's right.
He doesn't make you do anything. He simply says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to use that story. There's lots in that story. I've preached on that story in prisons and out in the parks and everywhere else. But I want to use this story tonight to preach on this subject. Getting closer to Jesus. Getting closer to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for your help tonight. I so need you, Lord. I often wonder why you would even want to use me. But Lord, in your will, your plan, you've chosen me, you've chosen this church for such a time as this. And Lord, tonight we need you to lead us, to guide us, to speak to us, to help us. We've had a great song service. We've had a great day. We've had a great week. Lord, I pray you'd finish us off tonight with a tremendous time at your feet. Speak to us, Lord. Strengthen us, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, and amen. You can be seated. The Bible tells us if we'll draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto us. The Bible tells us that the Lord, Jesus Himself in Matthew chapter 11 says, "Come unto Me." The call is always there to come to Jesus, to draw nigh, to draw near to Him, to get closer to Him, to be more in His presence. You remember Martha and Mary there when Jesus came to their house. Mary sat at His feet. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was very busy, and Mary just sat there at the feet of Jesus. And Martha was the one that was cumbered about. Martha was the one that was stressed out. Mary wasn't, because she was right there next to Jesus. The life the life of a Christian. I was talking with Brother Amadi earlier in our discipleship, and I spent the whole time today on the daily walk, the time that you must spend with Jesus Christ personally, you and Him one-on-one. It's not an option, church. It cannot be optional. It must become a part of your life. It must become a habit that you develop. Like I told him, it must be to the point where you, just like when you eat meals 2 and 3 times and 4 and 5 times a day, at least snacks and things like that in between meals. And as you do that, the more you put in this bold body, the hungrier it gets. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. You must spend time in the Word of God to develop a hunger for the Word of God, to develop a taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the Bible tells us to do, to draw nigh, to taste. And when you get that taste, then you'll be hungry for another taste.
Amen.
Getting closer to Jesus. In our story here, that's exactly what's happening. This blind man named Bartimaeus, you understand the word Bar means son of. And we know the Bible tells us he's the son of Timaeus. This is nobody special. This is not somebody that's ever even named to us. All we know is he was the son of his father. Wow. I'm the son of my father. Samuel's the son of his father. Some of you, the daughter of your father. In other words, God doesn't choose to give us this man's name. This is just a blind beggar. It's just a blind, dirty, broke down beggar. And like I told you, in the city of thieves, who's not really ever going to get ahead, begging by the side of the road, in the city of thieves. His life is worthless. His life is hopeless. He has no hope. He has no future. He has no purpose. He has nothing that we don't even know his name. But the point is that everything began to change when he got closer to Jesus. Everything changed in his life from that day on.
That's right.
There was never another day that was like that day in this man's life. There was never another day that this man was so drastically changed than this day in this blind man's life. I want you to understand just a few things quickly. The closer I get to Jesus, the more clearly I hear His voice.
Amen.
I want you to look with me in verse 47. He had heard that it was Jesus. So he had heard about Jesus. And I'm telling you today, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, that seems to me like that's where most Christians live their lives. They've heard about Jesus. They've been to church and heard about the Bible. They've been to Sunday school and heard about the teachings and the parables and the book of Acts and the book of this and that. And they've heard about church and they've heard about tithing and they've heard about soul winning and they've heard about things, and that's just basically where they stay.
Yep.
It's just something I've heard about that. I've heard about that. I've heard about that. And this is a lost man, but I'm afraid in making application tonight that a lot of God's children, a lot of people that have been born again, they're just content to just hear about it.
Yep.
He heard it was Jesus of Nazareth in verse 47, and he began to cry out.
Yeah.
And say, Jesus. Crying out. Now remember, look at verse 46. There was a great number of people surrounding Jesus. There was a great big multitude, a big crowd of people. And when a big crowd of people comes, so comes a lot of noise. So comes a lot of chitter chatter, a lot of rustling of the feet, a lot of noise. This blind man must have heard somebody mention the name of Jesus, must have heard somebody say something about Jesus, and he understood, I've heard about this Jesus. I don't know exactly where he's at out there, but I hear he's close. So he began to cry out, Jesus!
Amen.
And notice what he heard in response in verse 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. So first he heard the voice of the crowd. Ah, be quiet. Keep it out of her. You don't have anything to do with this man called Jesus. Yep. See, here we have a man who's begging for Jesus. Begging for his help. And the first response he gets is the lost crowd.
Yep.
Mocking him.
Yes, sir.
Making fun of him. Discouraging him. You don't have any place calling out to Jesus. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know how worthless you are? Don't you know how dirty and broke down and you can't even see? You're not anything to anybody. Just sit there and be quiet. The lost crowd says, "You don't need Jesus. Be quiet. What you need is just to keep on begging. Just to keep on doing what you're doing. He doesn't have time for you." So the first answer he gets to his prayer is a bunch of mockery. A bunch of discouragement from the lost crowd. Well, what do you do? What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what you better not do. You better not listen to them.
Yep.
After all, what do they know? They're just in the crowd. They're not doing anything but picking up the piece. They're just drama seekers.
Yep.
I mean, don't you see them every day?
Sure.
If there's any red and blue lights flashing anywhere, we have got to slow down and we've got to watch. See? Hey, Dad, go that way, go that way. I mean, we're not even heading in that direction. Samuel says, "There's some lights over there. Go that way, go there. Let me see what's happening." I said, "What, son? He's pulling them over. No, there's two or three cars over there. Go that way, go over." And, well, of course, okay, let's just see what's going on. I'm terrible. I love my son, don't you see? And he guess what it is? Well, it's a traffic stop. Exciting, but the lights flashing and everybody got to go see it, especially on the highway, man. Will you please drive? I've got somewhere to be. But the world loves, they just want to be around the drama. So this crowd's just there for the drama, for the excitement, for the entertainment, like we talked about earlier. And they're telling him to be quiet. Don't cry out to Jesus. Don't, just be quiet. Just keep on with your life. And he did not listen. He, matter of fact, he raised his voice, the great moradil in verse 48. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. Okay? He got Jesus' attention. His faith was tested. His heart was tested. His heart was proven.
Amen.
Right there, church, listen to me. Just because you don't get the answer right away, don't give up.
Amen.
Why did Jesus not stop the first time? Oh, there's all kinds of theories. There's all kinds of opinions and ideas. And this theologian and this scholar, who cares about all that? Jesus didn't stop because he didn't want to stop.
Yeah.
It's not like he didn't hear him.
Well,
he heard him. But maybe he wanted to find out whether he was really sincere.
Yes, sir.
That's my opinion.
Amen.
That's my take on it. He wanted to find out if he really wanted Jesus or not, or if he was just kind of seeking a thrill. Jesus stood still. He stopped. But then he commanded the disciples, one of the disciples, to go over there. He commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort, rise." So the next voice he hears is, I believe, it's probably one of the disciples, because they're the ones right there with him. So first he hears the lost crowd, then he hears the disciples. He still hadn't heard Jesus' voice. You see, you cry out to Jesus, well, you start hearing the lost world mock you, make fun of you, and then you start hearing the preacher. Maybe you're looking for, and you're not going to stop. Praise God you didn't stop when somebody made fun of you. Praise God you didn't stop and lay down and quit because somebody said you ain't worth nothing, that ain't going to work, it never has worked, it never will work, it didn't work for me, I used to do that. All of those stinking things that you hear the world say, well, you just ignore it. It's all a bunch of lies and excuses. It's because they didn't make it, doesn't mean that God failed, it means they quit.
Amen.
Or they never really got saved in the first place. That's probably the majority of it. But he still didn't hear the Lord's voice. Then he heard the disciples. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Man, where's Jesus? I need to hear Jesus. So he hears the crowd, then he doesn't stop, thank God. Then he hears the disciples, and I liken this to you, like you are, you're hearing me right now. And many of you come to church and you hear me tell you what God said, because that's what they did. They told him exactly what Jesus said. But you just go home. You just kind of go home. And you never really hear him. Because you just won't draw, you won't draw nigh, you won't draw close enough. He speaks, I'm not God. I'm just like those messengers. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. That's every message I preach. I preached that to the lost person this morning. They didn't move. They just sat there. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I'm preaching that to Christians tonight. I preach that to you every time you sit here. My message is basically boiled down to that. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. He's heard you. He can. He will. But now it's up to you.
It's good.
He had a decision to make right there. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. It's a good thing Brother Reasoner believed that when God called him to go to Russia.
Amen.
It's a good thing this little girl right here believed that when God called her to the mission field back in March. And it's a good thing that little boy over there believed that when God called him to preach. Amen. And God's calling you to himself. That's what he's always constantly doing. Every morning you wake up, God says, come to me. You better come to me first.
Amen.
But you have a choice. You see, you can't be content just hearing somebody else tell you about it. You can't be content just hearing somebody else read somebody else's book about it. You've got to get to the place where you need to hear His voice.
Amen.
So he, verse 50, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, now there it is. Bam. He hears for the very first time, not the crowd, not the preacher, not the Sunday school teacher, Jesus.
Good.
Wow. Never man spake like this man. Never. I look at some of you and I wonder, I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again. Have you ever? Are you still just living on my words? Are you still just living on the preacher or the teacher or the book you're reading? Are you just living on the words of... Have you really heard Jesus answer and speak to you? You say, well, that's just a story. That's just a parable. And that's just... No, that is exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking... Getting closer to Jesus so you can distinguish His voice from all other voices. That's what this blind man wanted. That's what this blind man needed. And listen to me, nothing was going to stop him. You say, well, I don't have that in me. Well, what did he have in him? He's a blind beggar. Quit making excuses.
Amen.
I just can't. I just don't know. I just can't. I don't have this or that or the other. What did he have? He had a desire. He had a tenacity, a zeal. I said, I'm going to get to Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm not content with the crowd. I'm not content with just the preacher. I need to hear Jesus' voice.
Amen.
It'll change your life.
Yes, sir.
It'll change your life. The more clearly you hear His voice, not just the preachers, not just the missionaries, not just the Sunday school, not just your fellow church members talk about Jesus, but you will say, yeah, I know the Lord spoke to me. I know that's true. But it'll change your life.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him in verse 51, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Just like that. Listen, the closer I get to Jesus, the more clearly I hear his voice. Number two, the more clearly I see him.
Amen.
This always thrills me when I think about this. It never gets old. I don't want it ever to get old. You've probably heard me say it at one time or another, but this blind man was blind his whole life. Dirty, stinky, homeless, blind, hungry, no purpose, no direction, no nothing. His whole life. And today, his eyes are open. We can't comprehend this because we all have seen our whole lives. But his whole life was darkness. His whole life was not. Listen, a truly blind person can't even see light. They can't even. It's just complete and utter darkness. And they have no idea what anything even looks like. They can hear the descriptions, but they've never seen it for themselves. Never. And the very first thing he sees is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a day! What a day that was for him.
Amen.
Wow, that was a day for him. That never gets old for me.
Amen. Amen.
He got to see who Jesus really was.
Amen.
He'd heard about him. He'd even heard his voice. But he got to see his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love firsthand, personally, face to face. But I know we're not going to see Jesus face to face. I know that. One day, our faith will become sight.
Amen.
But I'm talking about our walk with God being so close and personal with Him that we know Him.
Amen.
Not just His voice, but we know Him. We've experienced His mercy. We've experienced His grace. We've experienced His love. We've experienced His power. I mean, the power that it took to heal that blind man, and all he did was speak the words, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole, and immediately he received his sight. That's the God that we serve. That's the Jesus that died for us. That's the same Lord of God in heaven. Do you even know him?
Amen.
Not if you're not close to him. It blows my mind. I get weary with the things that try to come between me and him. That blind man didn't let anything stop him.
Amen.
And he saw. He looked into the eyes. It was like, and they staring face to face with Jesus. I mean, does that not do something for you?
Amen.
I'm telling you, I can't wait for that day. Blessed, blessed day where my faith becomes sight. I'm no longer going to have to preach about Him. I'm no longer going to have to walk with Him by faith. I'm going to see Him face to face. I'm going to know Him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Yes, I know there's going to be judgment seat. I know there's going to be things that I'm going to have to answer for, but I'm going to be able to see Him and know Him and hear His voice, and I'm going to know everything. I'm going to be able to see Him face to face. But you know what the very next best thing is? In this life, you get as close as you can to Him, and you get to know Him personally.
Amen.
To where, you know what, when I go to the Lord in prayer, in my little prayer shed, let me say this to you. Hollywood will mess you up.
Amen.
Because you're going to watch some stupid movie made by some lost man, some heathen, some abominable false doctrine man who's not even saved, and he's going to draw this picture for you about Jesus, and you're going to that's what you think Jesus is all about. You know what you need to do is you need to just let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and your personal time with Jesus give you. I have in my heart. It's nothing weird. It's not. I don't know how you don't take me wrong. But when I go to the Lord in prayer, I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
I'm not just mumbling. I'm not just blah, 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 blah. I'm talking to somebody that I don't envision it like some. I don't want it to make it sound weird, but I want to draw close to Him where I'm talking to a person. That I, in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit, I see Him. I'm talking to the image that God has given me through His Word and His Holy Spirit. I'm talking about getting as close as I can. I don't know exactly if that's what He looks like, but that's what He looks like to me. That's who He is to me, because He saved me, because I love Him, because He loves me, and He's my Savior, and I want to be as close as I can. I want to see Him in prayer, in my heart. I don't want it to be a distant, just, oh, well, there's someone out there.
Amen.
I don't want to just go to the Lord and mumble some prayers. I'm talking to somebody.
Amen.
I mean, how would you feel? Hey, Elena, how you doing today? Did you have a good day? Well, how do you think about that? All right, Elena, I sure appreciate you. You sure are a big help around here, you know. I'm glad that you're here. Have a good day. We'll see you next time. Who was I talking to? I said Elena, but I wouldn't even look at her.
That's good. Amen.
I'm trying to tell you many times, and I'm trying to tell all of y'all, that when you pray, you're talking to God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And if you'll remember that, and if you'll strive to get that, to make that real in your heart, your prayer life will be different.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons you got to get alone.
Amen.
Alone. Alone doesn't mean 2 seconds on the couch with the TV blaring. Alone doesn't mean the radio on and the kids screaming. Alone means alone somewhere. Go away, get by yourself, put everybody else away. I don't know what you do. Lock them in the closet. Well, maybe not do that. Don't tell the police I said to do that, but please. Don't do it illegally, but get alone. Find a place and a time where nobody else is going to bother you and get alone with God. Why? Because it needs to be you and Him.
Amen. Amen.
The closer you get to Him, the more clearly you're going to hear His voice, and the more clearly you're going to know and recognize His face.
Amen.
Now, when we talk about seeing His face, literally, again, I'm not talking about some Hollywood movie. I'm talking about who God is to you. The mercy, the love, the radiance, the majesty, the glory, the power. The more clearly you see Him. And can I tell you, the closer you get to Him, the more clearly you're going to see yourself.
Amen.
The more clearly you're going to see yourself. When Jesus opened His eyes, He looked straight into the eyeballs of Jesus Christ. But I know, I don't know how long, but sooner or later, He did this number.
Yep.
Remember who this was. Remember what condition he was in. Now look back in the passage here. It says, when he was called, in verse 50, he, casting away his garment, rose and came. Now, the beggars would put an overgarment to cover up their filth. They didn't have a shower at home. They didn't have a home. But what they would do is when they were begging, they'd put an outer garment, like a robe kind of, to cover up their filth. So people wouldn't be so disgusted, so they'd maybe could get close to them without the stench knocking them over to give them a nickel or something. So, but when he arose, he cast that garment away. It's a picture of repentance. It's a picture of giving, putting away your false religion, your false hopes, and laying down what you think is your goodness and your righteousness, casting it down, laying it down, and coming to Jesus just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The garment was gone. He came to Jesus. He saw Jesus. He heard his voice. He saw his face. But listen to me, sooner or later, he had to see, wow. Look at me. Can you imagine with all of the filth and the unrighteousness and the ungodliness in our hearts? I know when I'm alone with God, I know when He's there. And I know when He's not. And whenever He's not, I know that something is amiss in me. Somewhere I've got myself filthy. Somehow I've dirtied up my heart, my mind. And when I try to go to Him, the closer I'm drawn to Him, listen now, He begins to show me. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, and I wish that you'd listen. Amen. But if you do know what I'm talking about, you understand. There are times where I'm alone with God, and I'm just alone. I want to draw nigh. I need to draw nigh, but He's not there. And before I ever get as close as I want to get, you know what he does? He says, what about that? What about that? And he doesn't come. I can't get any closer until I take care of that. Until I confess, repent, and the tears flow. And then His presence is as real as yours.
Yeah, man.
As I draw nigh unto Him, and listen, can I say something? This is where most people, this is what kills most people. They want to hear His voice. The blind man needed to hear His voice. They want to see His face, and they, you know, they want the blessings that I might receive my sight. Everybody wants that. But see, they're going to see themselves like they've never seen themselves before.
Amen.
You know why people come to church and the preaching is hot and the Word of God is powerful and the sword is double-edged and they never come back? Because they see themselves. Because they see themselves. Oh, God's right here. But the closer you get, the more clearly you see yourself. Are you listening to me tonight?
Amen.
He saw how filthy he was. I mean, he had to already smell it, but he saw it now. Wow. I knew I was filthy, but look at this. I'm telling you, folks, dearly beloved, you must not let this stop you.
Amen.
This is where Christians lose the battle. When the Lord points out something, and you back away. And then you back away. And then you back away. Before you know it, you're not even trying to draw nigh anymore, because you know he's just going to keep on hammering and hammering and hammering on the same nail.
Yep. Yeah, man.
And it hurts. No, it only hurts if you don't listen. It only hurts if you fight it. It's a sweet relief to get rid of it.
Amen.
To cleanse, the cleansing flow of the living water that bursts forth out of your heart and your chest, and your the purity of your mind once again overflows with the blessings of, and the Word of God just begins to flood your heart and your soul, and Jesus just shows up, He's right there, and I'm not talking about anything weird, but I'm talking about reality where you can walk with God, seeking His face, and let Him cleanse your heart, and just go ahead and confess to God, "You're right, God. I'm filthy. Please forgive me, oh God. I don't want that in my heart anymore. I need You. I want You. There's nothing in this world worth losing that precious fellowship with Jesus."
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen. That's right.
But this is where most people fall away, because they're hanging on to whatever it is that God wants them to get rid of. The more, the closer you get to Jesus, the more closer you're going to hear, and the more clearly you're going to hear His voice. The more clearly you're going to see Him, His face. The more clearly you're going to see yourself. And can I say in closing, the closer you're going to stay to Him. Verse 52 says, "Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Did you hear what he just said?
Amen.
Go thy way. What? I thought Jesus said, "Follow me." I thought Jesus said, "Come unto me." He did to his disciples in that particular time. To this man he said, "You're free. Go thy way." What did he do? Immediately he received his sight and he went his way. Is that what the... It's not on my face. It's in the Bible. What does it say?
Followed.
He followed him in the way.
Amen.
He wasn't about to leave him. He wasn't about to go somewhere else. He wasn't about to go his way. He had to... Listen, you know, the thing about salvation is, the thing about grace is that you can go your way and you're still saved.
Yeah.
Now, that's this doesn't seem like good sound preaching. No, that's just that sound doctrine.
Yeah.
You have liberty in Christ. You can go your way. "All things are lawful unto me," Paul said, "but all things are not expedient." "All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." See, you have liberty in Christ not to sin. But if you want to live your life completely apart from Jesus, if you want to go about doing things your own way, you can do that. You're still going to be saved. But see, when you start drawing closer to Jesus, you're going to start seeing His face, hearing His voice. You're going to see who you really are, and He's going to clean you up, and then you're going to stay with Him.
Yeah, man, preacher.
I told Brother Marty, I know I'm using that because we just talked about this tonight. Right here, what I'm preaching to you tonight, it's what's either going to keep you in church, or it's what's going to drive you away. You better listen to me.
Amen.
I'm no exception. Brother DeShazo's no exception. My wife is no exception. The man on the moon is no exception. You are not an exception. You better get closer to Jesus. You better stay there, or else you're going to end up going your own way. Nothing between. The closer I get to Jesus, more clearly I hear His voice. I don't know. He spoke tonight. He already has.
Amen.
Some of you are still not sure. Some of you are still just hearing me. What you need to do is you need to get up from your seat here in a minute and you need to get on that altar and you say, Jesus, I need to hear from you again.
Amen.
You need to get closer to Jesus.
Amen.
See His face. Maybe for the first time. You say, is that really possible? God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
Amen.
And turn from their wicked ways.
Amen.
Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I answer them. Then will I heal their land. He'll answer you. You'll see. Well, I don't see Him face to face, but you'll see who He really is. You'll know Him. And you'll stay there. If, when you see yourself, you realize, oh boy, I'm filthy.
Amen.
I need Jesus. I need His righteousness. Throw off that outer garment.
Amen.
Come to Jesus as you are. Well, I'm already saying, okay, I'm not talking about salvation. Come to Jesus as you are and lay down that sin that is hindering you, that's besetting you. Lay it down on the altar and get up having seen Jesus afresh and anew.
Amen.
It's not going to drive you away. It's going to draw you closer.
Yes.
Quit making excuses. He's just a blind beggar. Nothing to nobody. No purpose, no direction, no money, no house, no family, no loved ones. Nobody cared about him at all. But Jesus did.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And he cares about you.
Yep.
And he loves you. And you need to draw nigh. You need to get closer to Him.
Yep.
You're drifting away? Sure you are. We all do. You've got to make this priority.
Yep.
Bow your heads. Close your eyes. No one's looking around, please.